In this morning's message, Pastor Steve will give an explanation of the parable out of Matthew chapter 13, the wheats and the tares. Listen in.
Once again, good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you here today. The first service is a larger service, but no less intense. God really did a move in the altar time at the end of that first gathering, and we're believing that God will do something slightly different now, but he will do something good as well. How many are believing that God is going to do something good before the noon hour? God is going to do something good as we gather together here in his name. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us online. Thank you for joining with us, especially our Teen Challenge guys. They watch it as a group, and in fact, I'm told they're going to start coming back next Sunday and back to this service, so we automatically will grow exponentially because there are quite a few guys, and we love them, and we love you out there in TV land, and we love you who are here today as well. I'm using my computer this morning for my message. It's not my normal format. I like the computer. I use the computer, all the devices, but I just prefer not to be dependent upon electronics because they can go south, something can happen. But what occurred was, in preparing my message yesterday, got to the end, got to the evening, and I really didn't feel that it really totally rang the bell. I don't know that it will ring the bell with the improvements, but nevertheless, there are those times. And I have people ask me, they say, Pastor Steve, how long does it take to prepare a message? And it's a pretty arduous task from beginning to end, at least usually 8 hours or so, and sometimes more as you study the text, the context, put it together, come up with an outline, practice a little bit, pray a lot, and hopefully God does something. So last night, I just finally gave up. I said, I'm going to sleep on it. I got up this morning, I don't know, about 5 o'clock or so, and I gave it another go, and I felt that God did speak to my heart, and then got to the church to run off a hard copy of the outline, and the Xerox machine, or the copier machine, whatever you call it, was not working. So about that time, I was tempted to call this a work of the devil. But I'm here to tell you that a lot of times the things we pin on the devil are just things going south. But if one more thing happens, I'm going to blame the devil here today. So how about that? So we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Let me tell you, however, lest I forget and hear about it on the way home. Where is that announcement? Here it is. We've got something special after this gathering. On Friday night, the ladies had a bonfire night. Can you imagine? It got pretty chilly, I'm told. They had the bonfire over there. About 25 ladies joined in, and they had s'mores, they had ice cream, they had various things that were prepackaged. We're very careful about that kind of thing. That's why we don't have the cafe open now or aren't selling goods. But they did have some extra snacks left over from the event that are safe to buy and to eat because they are carefully packaged. I think they've got some ice cream bars over there, and they've got some other snacks. So the money that you leave behind, just whatever you want to give, will go to Project Rescue. You've heard about that. I won't stop to explain all about it if you don't know, but Pastor Vic, you'll be glad to tell you about it. So you can pick those up. I think it's over there where that pink tablecloth is. So avail yourself of those goodies on your way out of here. And you say, but Pastor Steve, I'm going home to a nice lunch. I've never found it to hurt me to eat my dessert first, you know? The coming of the Lord is near. You never know when it will be your last dessert. So you want to make sure that you have a nice dessert. So we are in this series, stories that Jesus told about the parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Usually there's one point. And if we get that point, we get the whole thing. The problem is if we miss that point, we miss the whole thing. And I'm going to share with you today from what I consider to be probably the most difficult parable to decipher of all the 45 or so that Jesus told. It's found over in Matthew chapter 13, as I said. And we are going to read both the parable and Jesus' explanation of it. Pick it up at Matthew 13, verse number 24. So Jesus has just given the parable of the sower. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And now he talks about what is called often the parable of the weeds and the wheat, or the wheat and the tares, as the case may be. Jesus told them another parable. It begins, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." Notice that it is a man, singular, that it is good seed, and it is his field. And from our teaching in the same chapter about the sower, we discovered 2 weeks ago that Jesus is the sower, the good seed is the gospel, and that the field is the world. But while everyone was sleeping, say everyone with me.
Everyone
was sleeping. I hope that doesn't happen today, but it's kind of warm. Everyone was sleeping. That's everybody who was alive and who was working at that time. It says his enemy came and sowed seeds in the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. So they both came up at the same time, and they looked very much alike. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" And he replied, "An enemy has done this." Can you say that with me? "An enemy has done this." The servants asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered. I guess I don't know a lot about farming. My tendency would be, let's get those things out of there as fast as we can. But he insisted, no, don't pull them up, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." So Jesus continues teaching through the morning hours, and it comes noon, and they have a break for lunch, and he and the disciples go into a house. And it's in the house with just the disciples, no one else, that Jesus is asked by the disciples in verse 36, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And Jesus gives the answer. Listen closely. He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." Kind of difficult to keep that all in our mind in suspension, right? He goes on to say, "As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil." That's at the end of the age. "They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him or her hear." Can we say amen to God's word?
Amen.
So, Vicki is very good with plants. I mean, she has a legitimate green thumb. And every year she plants flowers all around our house. Every year the deer come and try to eat all of them. Every year there are boll weevils and other things that infest, but somehow she is able to deal with them. But this past week we found a problem with vegetation we could not cure. She had planted all these beautiful plants and flowers in pots, and I had taken them upstairs to the deck. Quite a chore. They're heavy, but hers was the bigger job. And we were ready to enjoy the summer sitting on our deck, and when we would eat of an evening, just be able to see those beautiful flowers, hear the loveliness of the little fountain that Dewey Bullard kindly gave us, and just enjoy our time. We normally comment on the flowers. I don't know if you do that. Oh, see, they're growing very nicely. But about the second day of this week, Vicki, having gone and gotten some fertilizer to spray on her plants, they were looking worse, not better. Have you ever had that happen? Come to find out, it appears to me, as best we can tell, that we got a problem. And that problem was and is that somebody switched the contents. Some foul joker at the store changed the contents of the box and put in weed killer instead of fertilizer.
Wow.
And unbeknownst to us, we had sprayed on the plants, not something to fill them up and give them better life, but to actually kill them. I don't think that was a very nice thing to do. And yet it did provide me with a wonderful sermon illustration. This fits perfectly, does it not, into the text of this morning? Because it explains what happened back there. They didn't spray something that they got over at Costco or BJ's or Lowe's, but they something came in. A stranger came in at night while everybody was sleeping and sowed weeds, which was the dynamic equivalent of it. And Jesus gave us a code of how to interpret this incredible parable. What does it mean that the wheat and the tares or the weeds grow together till the end of time? Well, there are three meanings here that we're going to take away. First of all, meaning number one is that the world is a toxic, messy place. How many of us would agree with that? And it does not seem to be getting any better, not to discourage you. You say, Pastor Steve, I didn't come here this morning to hear a message of discouragement. But it will get encouraging. But I got to tell you what the text says, because then I wouldn't be true to my calling. The world is a toxic, messy place. And into this world, the field is the world, right? Into this world, an enemy has come. Who do you think the enemy is? Satan has come. And notice when he came, it says, when everyone was asleep. When God put Adam to sleep, he brought out of him a beautiful creation. And we're glad for that, or we wouldn't all be here today. Procreation has to come through a man and a woman. But he woke up and he found this thing of beauty there by him. And that was good. But apparently, along the way somewhere, they got lured to sleep, if not physically, symbolically, by the serpent. The enemy has done this. And from Genesis to Revelation, we have a long history of messiness and toxicity, don't we? Sin has infiltrated this beautiful world and everything in it. And the tares that have grown among the beautiful wheat have become something that is a huge problem. But we tend to think that we can take care of the problem. We can build the United Nations and there won't be any more war. We can build hospitals and cure people of diseases. We can have psychiatric offices and counseling centers and no one's ever going to have another problem when they get through. How many of us know the problems keep on going? In fact, this is a message for a season of coronavirus, because things don't seem to be doing better. One day we go forward, one day we go backward. There seems to be good news. So the tares spread their influence throughout the whole field of the whole world. And the temptation for this man and his team of farmers was to actually go out right away and pull up the tares. And the master said, that is not what you should do. Let them grow together. Now, listen, this seems to be a real problem, because it causes us to think, well, that means that if sin is in my life, then I've got to not eradicate it. I can just keep living the way that I live. Somebody says, that's good news to me. I don't have to sweat it anymore. Not true. Some of us think it's the church. We've got to clean up the church, but it says, don't clean up the church. Don't pull out the weeds. That's not what it says. It says the field is the world, and it is a system that we have to live with. And into that system, into the good wheat that God has planted, has also been planted tares, and those are the ones that we are to leave alone. If you got tares in your life, get them out. If you got something in your life shouldn't be there, yank it out. Do it today. If there's something in the church that we need to take care of or repent, that we need to deal with. But we should not deal with all of the problems of the world or actually think, according to the parable, that we are going to have great success. The world is a toxic place, but I've got good news for you today. Satan is not the owner of the field. Isn't that good news? God owns the field. The last time that we sung the hymn, "This is my Father's world," that resonated. This world belongs to God. However, in the short term, the enemy has come in and has planted weeds. And that is what not we're dealing with, but that is God's job to deal with those weeds. Aren't you glad for that? So does that mean that we shouldn't address poverty or injustice or racism or disease or lack or any of the problems of that nature? Of course we can. But how many of us know that by the time Jesus comes back, we will not have been able to make the dent that we would like to make? The gospel is a life-changing gospel, but at the same time, it can be frustrating because its application doesn't necessarily take care of all of our temporal problems. It takes care of our spiritual destination, how many of us know, but it doesn't take care of our temporal problems. So Satan doesn't own the field, but he owns the worldly system that will eventually be destroyed when God takes over everything the way he promises that it will occur in the last days. So the good news is this parable is for the last days. At the very end of time, the wheat and the tares will be taken care of. The wheat will be reaped, the tares will be burned. So the first meaning is that the world is a toxic, messy place, and it does not seem to be getting better. That's kind of bad news. Mm-hmm. Let me give you meaning number two, because this is also a bit of bad news. The world's messiness or toxicity will be eradicated in God's timing, not in yours and mine. Did you know that? Us simply wanting things to happen will not make them happen. I am as fanatic about the lawn as Vicky is about her flowers. So I'm so fanatic, if you invite me to your house, you'll probably find me before I knock on the door getting down on your lawn and looking. How did these people get this lawn so green? I got to ask them what they put on the lawn. They don't have any tares in here. They don't have any weeds. How did they manage that? And I had that experience just a couple of weeks ago. Because this year at the beginning, the lawn was green and luxuriant and thick and it was hard to mow. It was wonderful. And then something happened. An enemy came in, so to speak. Something happened. I don't know what happened. And I was very upset. And I talked to the guy who works with us on the lawn. And I said, what in the world happened? And he got down, and he's the expert. And we looked together. He said, you know what? I got bad news for you. These are weeds that were brought in when this house was built. They brought loam in 20 years ago, and they have been lying dormant, and they're just now coming to life. Wow, you mean all that length of time? See, a lot of the problems we have didn't just start today, did they? We have to look in the past. He says, well, what you need to do is just let this all lay here the way that it is until September. And then I'm going to spray it, and what's going to happen is most of your grass will die out, and it will look terrible for 3 weeks, but I'm going to come back and plant new seed, and it will be wonderful. Well, I didn't want that. I mean, who wants to wait, right? I said, can't you get these things out of here this afternoon? Can't you pull the weeds? And then I remembered this parable, and I thought, oh, there's a sermon illustration right there. Because of the fact that you and I are not to be yanking the weeds too early. It has to be in God's timing, you see. Vicki, years ago, went to the doctor and she couldn't see very well. And she said to the ophthalmologist, I got a problem with my eyes. And he checked her out and he said, you've got cataracts. Cataracts are growths over the eyes that cause you to become more and more dim in terms of your eyesight. And she said, well, when can you take them out? This next week? He said, oh, no. And if you've had cataracts, you know, they've got to do something called ripen. The cataracts have to grow over your eyes and they become kind of opaque in color. And then they can take them out. It's the same thing as what we have here. There is a time to eradicate that which is evil and that which is wrong. Does that mean, once again, that we shouldn't try to make the world a better place? Yes, we should. We should drive out of this driveway right here and turn right or left and go out and be a blessing to our world. Amen?
Amen.
We should bring the things that we study here about justice and things of that nature and help people out. But the reality is that before the Lord comes back, how many of us know not everything will be taken care of? So if your destiny is to live a social gospel and you think you can change everything before the end of time, it's not going to happen. But we can change some things. So the world's toxicity will be eradicated in God's timing, not ours. We are to pray, your kingdom come. And at the same time, we are going to pray, may Satan's kingdom go. We may be activists, but listen, folks, some of the best activism we can do is pray. Did you know that? I've had people say to me, I'm sick and I need prayer. And I say, well, good. Yes, I'm going to pray for you. But what do you really need? Do you need some money or do you need a ride to the hospital? They'll say, no, what I need is prayer. Why is it that in the church we take the very thing that is our greatest weapon, that is the greatest part of the wheat crop, and we kind of diss it a little bit like prayer is not important? Folks, prayer is the most important thing the church can do. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, Lord, in this world that temporarily is under the rule of Satan, but is actually yours, and when the lease is out, will revert to you again. When we are able to do that, then God is able to do his part through prayer. Meaning number three, and here we put in the application and it gets better. The third meaning is that this toxic world will be made right in the end. How many of us believe that? How many of us believe that we are living in the last days, but before it's over, when we get from Genesis, where we went to sleep, to Revelation, where we wake up, that God is going to do a distinctive work that will bring all glory to him? Amen. He is going to make things right. Amen. The wheat will be reaped, the tares will be burned. You see, we center so much on the rapture and are talking about prophecy and the end of time. The church will be taken out. We will be taken out of here and we will not have to put up with any of this nonsense. But though it is true that the church will be taken up and then it will come back again, the fact of the matter is that the rapture takes place in a different way as well. And that is when Jesus comes with his church, he's going to take sin out of the world. He's not only going to bring us back, he's going to take sin out of the world. And we will rule and we will reign with him. You see, the distinction between the wheat and the tares is not obvious right now. Sometimes we use the greatest discernment and we are still fooled. Have you ever sent money to a TV evangelist and found out after you almost emptied your bank account that they were up to no good at all? I see a couple of hands raised back there, people admitting it. Yes. I'm here to tell you today, however, that we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So what Jesus is talking about here is, before the end of time, it is going to be very dark and dim. It is going to be like when you go to a jewelry store and you want to buy a string of pearls for, let's say, your wife. What does the jeweler do? He puts out a piece of velvet cloth and then he puts the pearls on top of it. Because the contrast of the black velvet is what brings out the luminosity of the beautiful pearls. And in these dark days that we are living in right now, how many of us know that in the darkness of these times, this is when the power of the gospel can shine best? This is our opportunity. This is the time when the tares will be distinguished. This is the time when the wheat will be made known for its value. So what happened at the end of the harvest season is that the tares would become top-heavy. They could not stand up to the pressure of the wind, so they would bend over. And then along would come the harvester and would cut the top of the grain off without doing any damage. Had she done it before, it would have been an incredible difficulty. But now he gets it all off, and you know what he does? He puts the wheat in his barns, and he burns the tares so they will never be a problem again. An enemy has done this. This is my Father's world, but an enemy has done this. But you know what? The enemy is not going to succeed forever. And this is the time you and I have a chance, according to this parable, to really live out our commitment to Christ. When all these things begin to take place, rejoice, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Years ago, I remember as a kid seeing, I think it was like a Twilight Zone or something, but the story at the beginning really freaked me out. But now it seems to be very applicable to what I'm going to say this morning. Supposedly, in this episode, these aliens came in from another planet. And they took on our appearance. I don't know how they did it. So that now you would go to work and you didn't know who next door to you in the cubicle was an alien and who was actually a human? Who was your friend and who was your foe? Who was wheat and who was tares? And then shortly after all this came up, an air conditioning system broke in a major high-rise in New York, according to the story. And the temperature began to go up. And guess what? People's shirts began to pop open and lizard heads began to come out. Those were the aliens. They learned a secret. The aliens can't stand the heat. And so they turned off the air conditioning all over the world. And they were able to get rid of the aliens. Doesn't that just bless the cockles of your heart? You had to come all the way here to hear that story. But you know the interpretation thereof, don't you? These are hard times. The heat is really getting poured on. But this is a time when the people of God can stand up and can emerge victorious. Because I have some basically bad news for you, and that is, this is a messy world. I got bad news for you in the second meeting, and that is that it's not going to be fixed right away. But I've got some wonderful news for you, and that is before it's all over, God is going to fix it. Beyond the book of Revelation, it is going to kick into play, and we are no longer going to be worrying about the tares and about the weeds. I'm not a big baseball fan, so the lack of baseball for a while isn't a problem to me, but I feel badly for those of you for whom it is. But I did live in Chicago for many years, and we had two baseball teams, one on the north side, one on the south side. Walter, you'd know about this, being from Chicago. And, you know, the north side and the south side really battle against each other socially in ever so many ways. I was for the White Sox at the time because of the fact that we lived on the south side. And there was a song, a group that kind of was a garage band. Out of nowhere, they got a hit in, I think, 1969-70. I'll give you the lyrics in a minute. And in 1977, I think it was, for the first time, there was a game where the White Sox were really, really, I mean, whipping up on the guest team. And the organist played for the first time in a ball game this song. Just the music. But it is so easy to learn the lyrics. If you don't know the lyrics, I guarantee you, you can learn them with me right now. You ready? Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye. That's it. Sing it out. Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye. You know what it is? It's saying, see you later, Charlie. You're about to get struck out. We're about to win the game. I really think that we are gonna sing a lot of beautiful choruses in heaven. I mean, read the book of Revelation. We already sing them, but they're going to be even more beautiful because they're going to have the lyrics that Amen. Jesus wanted to have. Amen. But I'm here to tell you something. I think he's going to allow us to sing one from Chicago. This is what we're going to do as we look at the devil and all of his tares and all of the problems and all of the difficulties we struggled with for so long. I don't know about you, for all the people who had cancer, for all the people who have the coronavirus, for all the divorces, for all the broken relationships, for all of the hurt, for all of the racism, for all of these things that we have fought against for so long without success, because Jesus is the King over all, I think we're going to sing one last time as he goes to the pit where that enemy belongs. Na, 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 hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. And then you are going to shine like the stars forever, as it says in the last verse. Satan is going to go into the pit, and time will be no more. There will be no sickness, no sorrow, only what God has planned in store for his children. And the Bible says, think your best thoughts. Imagine what you think God can do, and eye has not seen nor ear heard what God can ultimately do way beyond our thinking and our imagination. Amen. And so, remember, the world is toxic and messy. Number two, the weeds will be eradicated in God's time, not now. but this world will be made all right in the end. Every now and then, we get a foretaste. Every now and then, we get a little hint of what it's going to be about, don't we? And then it's taken away from us. That's why I love so much that hymn, Blessed Assurance. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. They used to give a lot of food out over there at Costco. They don't do that now during the coronavirus season. But you could go and you could actually graze your way through that store on a Saturday. And many people did. They didn't want to go buy anything. They just wanted to eat all these little foretastes. And so, you know, they would go and they'd be all stuffed with that. I'm telling you, every now and then I get a foretaste. You know, when we pray for the sick, what that means? It means that there's going to come a day when there's going to be no more disease. When we come together and we reconcile, it means one day we're not going to have any more fights. We're not going to discuss issues about poverty or color or creed, as long as we're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a completely different day.
Amen.
You know, one of the things I've really missed over the last several months, and just I realized it this week and said to the staff, we got to do something about this, is that though we are not people who believe one ground or one territory or one hunk of dirt is more sacred than the other, the FNC isn't more sacred than the ball field over there, per se. 199 Warren isn't any more sacred than the Boys and Girls Club, in a sense. But we know certain things happen, and we like to put those in our memory banks. And we like to go back and revisit those places. And I don't know about you, there's just something to me about stepping forward and making an altar, wherever it may be, because altars alter. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Altars tend to change us. And I feel God told me, I don't say that very often, but I feel God said, I want the people who are in need, the people who are going through fear, the people who are struggling with disease, the people who are just going through a hard time right now, to quit worrying about it, believe that things are going to get better just as it says here, and allow me to be God, allow me to rule.
Amen.
It's going to get a little worse before it gets better, but it is definitely going to get better. How many of us believe that?
Amen.
I don't mean in this life. I mean somewhere, sometime, it is going to get better, and that's all we need to be concerned about. I didn't say worry about it. I said that's what we got to be concerned about. Hallelujah, Lord, you see us all here standing basically at your altar, whether we are at the front of the tent or against the wall or over there under a tree somewhere. You're doing your work. Do it like you've never done it before. Things are going to get better, but probably not today. But the God who's going to make it all get better has given us a promise, and his words are yes and amen. And he's going to do what he said he would do. And all we have to do is trust in that. So many people are thinking, well, just what we need is some kind of political thing. What we need is some kind of great human device. What we need is a little more entertainment. If only we could get back into a stadium and we could all sing together and hear a rock band. But, Lord, that is not what we need right now. We don't need entertainment. We don't need advertisement. We don't need more stuff. What we need is a relationship with the one who's going to make a difference. The only one who can make a difference in our world today. We give you glory. We give you glory. Deliver, Lord, those who are upset by fear. And maybe that fear is giving way to other things in their lives that are symptomatic of a deeper problem. We get under pressure often, we get angry. We look at things maybe we shouldn't look at just to give ourselves some relief. And help us, Lord God, to be set free today. For whom the sun sets free will be free indeed. Dismiss us by your grace. Help us to leave this property whether we turn to the right or the left at the intersection up here. And not change down the street in a mile or two. But to go filled with hope and victory. Lord God, we thank you that you have delivered us, and we believe that you're coming again to make it all right. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the weak, not the tares. In Jesus' name, amen.